Geek Radio Daily with a special look back for those of you that couldn't make it to Balticon number 43. Here is Doing It Daily. Sounds naughty, doesn't it? But no, it's not. It's all about why do people do daily podcasts? J.R. Blackwell, Christiana Ellis, Jared Axelrod, and myself, the wonderful Billy Flynn. This is what happened. We don't have quite all of it. There were issues. Go figure.
Good idea at first. And then after a year, you're like,
doesn't it always?
What were we thinking? It's a two-person show, so you know, as long as we're both there, it's fine. But then when your real world starts getting in the way, it's like, you got to do the show tomorrow. No, you got to do the show tomorrow. It's a challenge, but it's fun. And we do it because we feel we need to. We feel there's a void, and we fill it. And that's all I'm going to stop right there. I'm going back to my magazine.
All right, then. Among my other podcast fiction projects, I did recently complete Christiana's Shallow Thoughts, which was a full year of basically, if you've heard of Deep Thoughts, well, it's like that, only not. It was just a few minutes every day of me kind of, you know, musing on whatever was on my mind, and sometimes they were sort of, you know, deliberate just jokes, and sometimes it was just kind of, you know,
got that
attempting to be humorous. Well, there was a couple of those. but it was every single day for 365 days in a row.
Wow.
So have you stopped Shallow Thoughts? Is that it?
Well, it's not that I'm never going to do any more of them. It's that I have stopped doing it daily.
Ah.
So I did a full year daily, and now I'm ready to do some other things.
You're still going to get rickrolled, though, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Three times I rickrolled my audience.
Very nice. To you. I'm Jared Axelrod, with J.R. Blackwell, who's right here, and three other authors. We started the website 365 Tomorrows, which put up a new piece of fiction every day. And we edited that as well as writing. I was only part of it that first year and wrote 78 stories over that year, and you beat me by...
I wrote 84.
84, but six. you're still with it, so you totally beat me by that. And after that, I started my podcast, The Voice of Free Planet X, which in its third year I took daily for 110 episodes, and then quit. So I don't have quite the pod stamina, but... to my credit, it was longer than Shallow Thoughts.
Well, it was also first and was the direct inspiration for Shallow Thoughts daily. So it was basically, I said, Jared's taking the Voice of Free Planet X daily? That's awesome! I'm going to copy him! And I stood on the shoulders of a
the
giant
legend
wheelchair.
Was created of Shallow Thoughts.
He's only temporarily.
And that was a lot of fun, and broke me out of my previous episode format, and we'll talk about that, how doing it daily changes things. But those are my two big daily projects.
I started 365 Tomorrows with Jared, and a shout out to our forum overlord in the audience right now. Woo! Who manages our insane forum on a daily basis.
And was there with us at the beginning. So.
Yeah, so that's been going on for quite some time. I've now written over 120 stories for the site, and that's a site that does daily content. When we started, we were five writers, and Jared and I wrote a large portion of those stories in that beginning year, and now we're open to submissions, but the content is still daily, so every day there's something new. and I also did a project called 365 Days, where I took a self-portrait every day for 365 days, and that was really good. Really a skill-building process.
So let's talk a bit about with the daily project. No matter how much you plan ahead, eventually you're going to come to the point where you have no idea what to do, and it's 10 o'clock at night,
Sometimes later.
Sometimes later, and you have to churn this element out. And what... and that forces you kind of out of your comfort zone. And it forces you to make something that you probably weren't expecting. What surprised yourself when doing this? If anything.
More often than not, when I ended up in that position where it was, you know, the day was almost over and I really had nothing, is I kind of ended up, I say resorting, but it's really my favorite thing, but resorting to meta commentary where, you know, I'll get halfway into a shallow thought and it's kind of like, and I'm talking, and this and that, and are you bored yet? I sure am. Gosh, you know, when I started this, I thought it was funny, but I'm just not feeling it right now, so... you know,
my,
I'm just
my
gonna.
My favorite was the meta commentary when you were like, "Is this just meta commentary? Oh my God, is it meta commentary?"
Yes, well, it happened often enough that I got to experiment with lots of different varieties of meta commentary. I think one of my personal favorites was the one called Discourse, where essentially I was self-narrating my own argument by essentially saying, everybody knows that implying consensus is the best way to provide support for your argument. But not everybody knows that implying exclusivity of information is the best way to prevent argument.
Oh. That is so true.
It's still too early for that.
I just remember it now. I remember listening to that while walking my dog first thing in the morning. My head exploded.
That's really what I was going for.
Nicely.
Unfortunately,
I got better.
Yeah.
But yeah, more often than not, when I was in a position of not having an idea, that's kind of what I ended up going with. But sometimes... the nature of the writing process was really just that I would start with one thing, and then as I was writing it, I would get a funnier idea. And so sometimes all it really took was saying, sit down and start writing a few sentences about, I don't know what to write about, I don't, you know, it could be this, could be this, and then I actually say, oh, wait, no, that was pretty funny. And so that's one of the handy things about the format that I chose, was that it could really just be about anything I wanted. So some flexibility there.
That would have been clever. We're locked into a completely rigid structure. And other than the fact that two people, you can just sort of improv and make jokes with each other, other than that, if one of you's missing for 2 months at a time because your day job prevents you both from working together, wow. You know how hard it is to do 15 minutes of structured programming by yourself? It's just not easy. So some mornings I would just I would go back and listen to myself, and I'm like, wow, I'm just sort of rambling about things. That's nice. But you get fan mail for that. It's so weird what people will get fan. That ramble you did. It doesn't matter how much you plan. It doesn't matter. There'll be this one silly thing you say just off the cuff, and people are like, oh, that was the greatest thing ever.
That's true of hate mail, too.
That's true. Well,
it's true of hate mail. We'll talk about fan mail in a minute, which is very interesting with the Daily. But on that same token, the weirdest things that people like. I was doing research for a time travel story and got incredibly depressed because history is horrible. Full of people doing horrible things to one another. And I was just depressed and I couldn't think of anything to do. And JR suggested, why don't you talk to the stuffed panda about your problems on the show? And I did.
The stuffed panda host.
And was wildly popular. And
I miss him terribly.
He's here. He's in the car. I should have brought him out. He would have loved this.
Aww. And all the money you saved in therapy.
I know, right? Just talking to the stuffed panda. And so
about
Nazis and the Holocaust. Because if there's one thing that a stuffed panda can bring her perspective on, it's the Holocaust. And that was something that I thought, no one's going to think this is funny. And everyone thought it was hilarious and started clamoring for his return. And he became a co-host in a weird sort of way. This little squeaky voice stuffed animal.
And there was the inevitable Coke-fueled fallout between the two.
Not yet. No? We ended before that happened.
Good, good.
But it was funny. What's it? What's Dan's podcast?
Oh, Dan the Fan.
Yeah. I forget what it is. Anime and stuff? No, it's not. Awesome, whatever it is, the title. He called him up and said, I'd love to do an interview. And it's like, oh, great, we could totally do an interview. He's like, no, with Panda. And so we did it. We even videotaped it with me operating the Lusif animal. So, and I honestly, I thought no one else would think that was cool. They would just, what the hell is this? But he's became incredibly popular.
You never know what people are going to like. In writing so much fiction for the site, I would get simultaneous emails the same day telling me that it was both the best and the worst thing we've ever done. Somebody would email me and be like, the story really moved me, and like, you know, I cry listening to it on the ride to work, and I'm so glad you posted this, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, somebody else will email you and be like, things are really gone downhill, haven't they? It's terrible. Like, the worst thing. I just hope that you can recover from what you've done. So, I think that totally, that gave me some perspective, you know? Like, when I get, you know, sometimes you get fan mail that says that they love you, and sometimes you get fan mail that says that they hate you. So now when I get fan mail that says that they hate me, I'm like, well, that's your opinion. You know, like, that's just one sort of opinion, because I think if somebody's out there saying they hate me, there's probably somebody out there saying that they love it too. Like, maybe they just didn't write.
The thing about hate mail is that even if they didn't like it, you still touched it.
Yeah, that's true.
Response.
I think one thing that I found doing one every day is that it really sort of made me feel more free to experiment and do things that I might not otherwise try, just because, you know, if people don't like it, there will be another one tomorrow. But, you know, some of the things that people ended up really responding to were kind of amazing. Like, I got a puppy over the course of that year, and Luna became this co-host of the show, and in fact there were a number of times where I would start recording and say, and now Christiana's shallow and then I was just like, Luna, quiet, and now Christiana's shallow and so I decided more often than not to leave those in, because I thought they were funny, and then I got lots of feedback that indicated that other people thought they were funny too. I only got one voicemail ever with someone who was saying, you know, you should really put your dog in the other room when you start recording.
Dog's the good luck charm.
One of my favorite episodes you've done is the one where you're just giggling at the dog running around and banging into the door. Yeah. And then running around the table some more and banging. Yeah. And it's...
Well, it was,
it's almost Dada-esque.
I wish that I could have gotten video of this, because she's in the kitchen, tile floor, and there's a baby gate that keeps her in there. And she's running around doing just little laps of the kitchen. But every time she gets to the end with the baby gate, she would jump into the air, hit it with all 4 feet, spring off, and turn around. And she did this for like 10 minutes. And so I just aimed the microphone at her.
Frank Sam Michael Phelps uses the same technique.
I think you're right that it does make you go outside of your comfort zone. I found that was very true for my photography, was that I tried things that I wouldn't normally try. Like, usually I like my pictures to be very dark. Like, and not like necessarily in theme, though that's fun too, but like, I just like a lot of shadows. I just like a lot of darkness. Like, I like to use that. And because I was doing it every day, I was like, well, why don't I try doing the same thing, but with a lot of light? And now that's like one of my favorite things to do. Like, I love to just like throw so much light into a photo, and that's a lot of fun. And I found also that some days you're really drained and you don't feel like you can produce anything good, right? And on some of those days, like, I actually ended up producing something that I loved, even though I was so tired and I like didn't want to do it. And then of course there are those days where you actually do produce something crummy.
There's nothing like cold medicine sometimes to give you that extra little creative spark. Like, ooh, I see colors now.
Well, part of the appeal of doing it daily project is that it lowers that expectation. Mm-hmm. Because how many times, and panels quite like this, where people have talked about how, you know, I missed a week, on my podcast or whatever, and now so the next week's got to be twice as good, and then I missed that week because I was so busy trying to make that twice as good. So it's got to be three times as good now because I've missed 2 weeks, and on and on and on, and then they never podcast again. And that sort of pressure builds up, and when you do it daily, not only are you, or not only is your audience a little bit more lenient, it's like, oh, well, he'll do something different tomorrow, but you are more lenient on yourself because that's, it seems to be that you're always your harshest critic, and in that rush to get everything out, you're a lot more lenient. One thing that I noticed I did when I started doing podcasts daily is taking my portable rig everywhere. And talking to people and shoving the microphone in their face, which normally I wouldn't feel comfortable doing. I mean, I've done interviews and stuff like that, but to just approach someone on the street or after they do a performance.
Or in the men's room.
Or the men's room and say, hey, you've got a moment.
Catching people in the act of being themselves.
Seriously. And that's something I probably wouldn't have done before, because I should have called and arranged an interview, and it should have been more formal and right, and I should have the thing. One of the best things, one of my favorite things that I did during that time was talk to some
suspension
thing. I was going to say hangers, and that doesn't make sense. Suspension artists, people who put hooks in their backs and legs and arms and hang. Yeah, it's a little squiggly. And they gave this amazing show. We were at a tattoo convention, and I just brought it just in case. And I was lucky enough to catch up with them at their hotel room later and talk to them about suspension and about what they do and why they do it. And that really changed the way that I look at the art. And that's something I would never have done back when I was doing it weekly.
I remember that show, and one of the things that surprised me in that is just hearing them talk about what they're passionate about. Sounded so similar to hearing podcasters talk about podcasting. You know, so like the details of the specific things they're talking about, you know, instead of RSS feeds, it's, you know, making sure you don't have tear outs. But, you know, but at the same time, just the passion in their voice was really, it was compelling, even though I wasn't exactly convinced that it's something that I want to do.
Wasn't quite convinced, not quite there.
That was interesting, very interesting to listen to, even if it wasn't something that, you know.
You start with baby ones. You know, don't go full out, just get like one or two. Hang yourself up in your closet.
No, that's all right.
Okay.
I'm pretty busy.
You have this daily thing to do, sorry.
Let's talk about it. How do you make time for a daily project?
Structure. Every morning at about 7 o'clock, that's when the show happens. So everything that needs to be done has to be done any time before that. Sometimes it's 6:58. You never know. There's always something that happens. You get a last-minute email where somebody says something. It's like, oh, that's fantastic. We have to put it in there. Or you wake up one morning and someone famous has passed away. Somebody geeky's passed away. It's like, oh, we've got to change that. And one of the difficult things with what we do is, for my partner, the vicar, who's a slacker and never here, as you can see, intros, it's the sound drops and stuff that we use. We have new intros every day I try to have, and at the end of the show, it's what's called the stinger. If you're an MST fan, you know at the end of the show, there was always that little something from the show they brought back. Finding something that ties into what you're going to talk about when necessarily you don't know what you're going to talk about 5 minutes before, you scramble sometimes. So it's a matter of knowing when you're going to do it, not necessarily what you're going to do. We just hope that it all catches up in the first place. You just turn the mic on and see what happens. Sometimes it's gold, and sometimes people send you emails going, wow, maybe you should stop doing this.
For me, it's almost the exact opposite, and I would do it before I went to bed, and it wasn't ever like a prescribed time so much as I would do it before I went to bed, and so sometimes that meant I didn't go to bed until really, really late. But, you know, at a certain point, when you've done enough of them in a row, you sort of, it's this thing where it's like, well, you have to do it, because do you really want today to be the day that you miss one? And I actually did have a couple that were late, but never missed entirely. But generally speaking, I would do them, you know, I would be thinking over the course of the day off and on about what I wanted it to be about, and then when I'm starting to wrap up whatever else I'm doing that evening, I would finish up the evening, essentially, by doing the shallow thought and posting it. But, yeah.
That's not shallow.
But there were, of course, lots of times where I knew I was going to, say, a convention, or I was going to be traveling for work or something like that. You know, days where I knew that I wouldn't be able to do it at that time. And I tried to plan ahead for those days and make sure I had one done in advance. And so I did occasionally have to plan and not just stay up late.
Didn't you have to update the D65F convention once when we were driving?
Yeah.
And it wasn't up, and we...
Yeah, I had, like, 65 tomorrow, so
yeah.
I had to, buy time
on the hotel computer, because the person who was supposed to upload it
didn't do it, and then, so, yeah. No, we had to do that. I think it's something... It's actually, you know what, it's a lot like dieting. You know, like when you're dieting, you always are thinking kind of about the diet, like, well, I can't have that, or like, well, it's a lot like that. It's always on your mind. It's like, or always in the back of your mind. So it's always with you. So no matter what you do, it's sort of there. At least it was for me.
Do all of you all upload your content the day that it's due, or do you like
post things ahead?
I mix it down and it posts it. We do the show at 7, it's about 15 minutes, so we get done about 7:20-ish, it's up by 7:45.
So you don't record a show ahead of time and then...
Well, behind the curtain, sometime when you know that, you know, okay, and like if my partner's going to be gone, he's not going to be there for that day, and I want to sleep in or something, I might do one the night before and have it ready, and then I'll get up and make sure there's no breaking huge crazy stories that would have to be in the show. And if not, there you go. I pulled one over on people. But that's it's kind of rare. Can't, because with a two-person show especially, I have to wait for him, because we both work at the same day job. We both work at a radio station. So on his way to work, he stops by my house. We do the show. He goes to work. I finish mixing it down, post it. I go to the gym. Then I go to work. Every single day. Don't ever do it. It's don't do it. It's the best advice I could ever give you. Don't do it.
Part of the philosophy of, if there is such a philosophy for a daily project, is that you do it the day. I've done things in advance, and certainly on conventions when I've been on panels, I'm like, yes, I have 3 episodes today that I will record because I'm on 3 panels. And I'll just have that ready for next week and I don't have to worry about it. And so there is that element. But I think part of what kind of cracks open your creativity is that not planning, is that having it. Mm-hmm. At that same time, with the 365... Tomorrow's, we did not get enough done in advance, so we were writing stories, sometimes day of, and putting that up. And that's a little different.
And that's with front-loading. We wrote about 50 stories for the site before it went live.
Yeah, not near enough.
And it wasn't enough. I mean, you know, you would think, that's pretty good. It's a month.
That's a month. That's almost 2 months.
Oh, that's pretty good.
But
it's not. I think that if I were going to do that kind of a daily project again, I think that one thing I'd want to do is to do a lot more preloading, possibly all of it. The thing about, you know, doing it the day of, I think is really good for like a learning experience at least, and or like for keeping current events. Like you want to keep current, right? But writing fiction, I think I might have preloaded everything beforehand, 365 days. And then, while the 365 days were going on, I might have spent my time and energy promoting it rather than writing it, like getting it out there, making a book happen, calling people's attention to the site.
as I mentioned, I usually did mine at night, and so essentially, you know, I did one every day, but I sort of posted it for the next day. Mm-hmm. But even then, sometimes it occasionally led to things like the one that went out on November 1st was, oh crap, I can't believe I missed Halloween. I should have done one, a Halloween-themed Shallow Thought on Halloween, but that would have required planning ahead and paying attention and recording the Halloween-themed one on the night of October 30th. And so now that I'm doing one on the 31st for November 1st, crap, it's Halloween and I missed it.
I think fiction, part of the fiction is hard, at the risk of sounding like a snob. Fiction is way harder than this other stuff. And that that's one of the reasons I stopped, is because I wasn't writing as much as I wanted to. I mean, I was doing lots of other stuff that I really loved, and the interviewing and more conceptual pieces, but I wasn't writing. And so it depends on your project. Writing, you should write every day. Everyone talks about that, but that doesn't necessarily mean you have a finished product that you want to send out every day. So in some cases, maybe you should front load. In other cases, throw caution to the wind. I guess it depends on what your project is. I mean, there would be some people who would say, you can't do a self-port every day. There's that setup.
God, every single time I would start some kind of a project like that, there's somebody who's like, impossible! I don't know why.
Yeah, so now that I've said that, someone's going to say, well, I'm going to do a fiction project every day. It's going to be awesome, and I hope it is.
Good luck.
I'd love to read it.
It's really kind of strange, though, how it becomes this weird sort of a routine. Like, I actually did an episode, I think it was episode 100, where I was talking about, you know, habits. They say that, you know, if you do something 30 days in a row or 60 days in a row or however many days is the psychological study says this month or whatever, but you do something a certain number of days in a row and it becomes a habit. But I was just sort of thinking about, like, what does that even mean? Because I've done 100 of these in a row, and I still, every single night, I'm like, oh, man, I have to do a Shallow Thought before I can go to bed, but I'm tired. And
that's the habit is the remembering to do it.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was just, I guess so, but I just mean, I was feeling like, you know, it's like, this is still hard enough to do every day, and I'm not, if it's a habit, I'm not sure how much the habit's worth. But, you know,
it's not for the faint of heart.
No, but at the same time, you know, when I started going daily, I didn't have in my mind that I was going to do it for a whole year. The whole idea was, let's see how long I can keep this up. And if you had suggested to me at that time that I would last a whole year, I would have laughed in your face. And it was like, are you kidding me? I kind of thought if I had made it 3 months, that would be pretty good. But at the same time, once it kind of got to that point, it was like, well, do I want today to be the day that I don't do one? And I never reached that point until it was near the end of the year, and I figured that seemed like a good stopping point.
Today's the day.
Yeah, so I planned ahead. I didn't want
and
it to...
And I'm spent.
Yes, there you go.
How did it feel
you?
The first night didn't do one?
Probably my fans want me to say that I was sad. The first night, I was like, oh, this is nice. But at the same time, that's kind of, you know, it's like if you go out and you run a mile, when you're finished, you're like, whew, yeah, okay. You know, now I've stopped. You know, it's like when you immediately stop, there's a relief at first. You know, that said, you know, I mean, I do have mixed feelings about stopping it. I really enjoyed it, and I know a lot of other people enjoyed listening to it. But at the same time, it just sort of became obvious to me over the course of that year that I needed to choose Shallow Thoughts or something else. You know, at the end of this next year, do I want to have another novel or do I want to have another year of Shallow Thoughts? And it really became clear to me that I had to pick one or the other. And so,
Shallow Thoughts, the novel. Thank you. I like the way you think.
It actually brings up a question. Will you ever collect all the Shallow Thoughts and self-publish them or something?
I am definitely thinking about it. I've not really sort of started working towards it yet, but I put a lot of work into all of those, and so it would be nice if I sort of had something to, you know, something tangible to show for it at the end of the day.
How about the 365 portraits?
That's probably going to be a self-publishing book. I'm still working on
it. I mean, how did it feel the first day?
Great. It feels good. I'm really tired of looking at pictures of myself.
myself. Like, that was good. Cause,
really?
Yeah.
Because I could never get enough.
It's really nice to look at, because when you look at yourself, like, when I look at myself, I see all the sometimes I see all the things that, like, bother me, and I'm like, oh, God, this thing, that thing. But then when I look at other people, I think I'm a lot more forgiving. I'm like, oh, you're so cute. and there's a lot more control you have when you have somebody else in front of the camera rather than yourself. So I enjoyed that, and it really allowed me to... I always said that I wouldn't do anything that I didn't make my models. I wouldn't make my models do anything that I haven't done myself. So I tried to do, like, really crazy things that year. Like, I, like, stood on the edge of a building, and then I, like, in November, I walked into an icy river. And so now I can make them do anything I want.
Bin them in all sorts of crazy things.
Exactly.
Shine lights right in their eyes.
You think this is bad? This is nothing. You should have seen what I did.
Wait a second, I have the pictures.
See, look. Raises suffering for your art to a whole new level.
I felt kind of anxious when I was done with mine, because the reason I stopped was so I'd have more time for other stuff. And then I was like, all right, now I have this time. I better use it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have it yesterday. What am I going to do? Oh, my God. What am I going to do? So that was a little weird, because it takes up so much of your day. And then just to not have that be part of your day anymore was weird. Well, I guess that was the habit part. I'd gotten used to shunting my entire evening to this podcast.
Well, for me, it was almost a little bit scary how much that time seems to, you know, the time that you were spending, it's a lot of time, and then when you're stopped doing it, it seems like all of that time, it's like you finish, you're supposed to have all this time now. And it just seems to dissolve and disintegrate into nothing very, very quickly.
All those other projects you were trying to fit in suddenly take up that time.
Yeah,
exactly. And so it's not like, you know, suddenly I have an hour extra free time every day. It's more like, hey, wait a minute. I'm supposed to have an hour extra free time every day. What happened? And so there was a little bit of anxiety, too, in the sense that because my specific stated reason for stopping Shallow Thoughts was so that I could work on other things like the new novel. It's kind of like, you know, kind of tired, but I did say that I was working on the
yes,
novel.
Yes,
I don't have my excuse any longer to not do these other things.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Well, it sounds like the discipline that you got yourself into in the yearly daily project is carrying over into the not daily project.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
I,
it
I
definitely helps.
That. At the very least, it gives you a very focused sense of discipline and self-knowledge that even when you don't feel like it, you can do stuff.
Yeah, I proved to myself once and for all that if I make the time, you know, if I make a point of it, I can do something creative every single day. And, you know, before that, it seemed like, well, really, every day? But now I have no excuse to tell myself that, oh, I can't do it every day. Because I have, so.
Prove them wrong.
Yes.
Well, first I must say, as a panel, it seems like you've got this skill that you have from doing these daily podcasts where you're balancing and you're filling and you're telling stories across each other so well. It's so entertaining to watch.
Oh, you.
Go on.
So that may be a skill you picked up, but I have a question, actually. Have you seen what other regular schedules do as far as audiences or other things? You know, every other day, once a week, or converting from one schedule to another?
I had a huge audience increase when I went daily. I mean, it was astounding and almost immediate. And I think part of that is because, and I've said this before I started doing daily podcasts, is like it's far better to have regular content than really awesome sporadic content. People care more about getting it regularly than they do about quality. Because
that's what
no,
she
it's
said.
True.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's true because there's a level of quality that people enjoy, and you can get higher than that, and they're still going to enjoy it. And you can get even higher than that, and they're going to enjoy it. And you can go lower than that, and they're still going to enjoy it. So. And it's good, but that's another rant for another time. The point is that once I was doing it regular, audience shot way up. People started telling other people about it. I got some nice props from other podcasters who were like, this is bizarre. How is he doing it? And then Christiana started her podcast.
So there it is. Hope you enjoyed this little look at Balticon 43, the Doing It Daily podcast. Thanks to J.R. Blackwell, Christiana Ellison, Jared Axelrod for putting up with me, being in a room with such talented, talented folks. Hey, we did the Today Show podcasting. These folks actually put out quality. Go check them out. You are not going to be disappointed. Thanks to everyone at Balticon for the fun time they showed us. And hey, come check us out too. We're at geekradiodaily.com.